I'm so excited to be able to share on this topic of transformation. As I've been sharing the last few sessions, I found, boy, this is a much more complicated thing to describe as what I had thought. And the Lord's really caused me to slow down and share in detail how He showed me these things in Scripture so that the same understanding that's in me can go into you. And once you see these things, you become strong. You become safe in God. You become complete in Him, even though you're still not perfect yet. And it's not shallow. It's very, there's a depth to your relationship with God. And there's an understanding of why I need to pray, why I need to worship and fast. And you may understand as we go through this series why I focus so much on those spiritual things that cause you to grow rather than just being busy for God. And so I'm just so excited to share on this topic, and I appreciate you allowing me to go slow and take my time so that an image gets into you. Because it took years and years and years for me to get there. I wish, they have that saying, you know, I wish I could teach my younger self what I know now. If I only knew then what I know now. Well, prayerfully, this will help you to know more now rather than wait a long time. So our core verse here, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And I've been trying to get to verse 2, but we're stuck on verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So in this transformation process, it's very clear that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So that means God wants you, in a reasonable request, to take your body and to make it a sacrifice. Well, what does that mean? Like, and this is where some of the problem is with these two verses, is every church, every organization has their own interpretation of what transformation means, of what living for God means, how to serve God. Everyone has an opinion, and mine is only my opinion. And so I don't want to think that I'm trying to belittle or dismiss other people's thoughts, because I'm not. And in fact, I think that most of us are talking basically along the same path, but what God showed me is a little more detailed of why those things are. But unfortunately, because people dismiss transformation as being just me behaving better, they miss out on that, on the fact that they can have a source of life, of love, of peace, of joy, of strength from their inner man that's connected to God, instead of just trying to use what the world uses, which is the natural man. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, I had one person come to me and say, why are you just talk about dying and death and mortification? When do we get to live? And what they were saying was, I want a Christianity where I don't have to confront my natural man. I want to just accept my natural man. And they were, I understand, because they didn't see the reasoning behind me talking about mortifying the natural man. Because their interpretation, much of the interpretation, is that I have a natural, my body, and my body, I'm supposed to eliminate the bad things. I eliminate the wrong thinking, the wrong emotions, the wrong feelings, the wrong desires, the wrong anger, jealousy. I'm to push those down and make them submit. And then I accept the good things of my emotions, the joy, the love, the peace. And they might call that the love of God. That's the joy of the Spirit. But really, it's the source of that. Even though it's good, the source of that good emotion of love, the source of that good emotion of joy, of peace, is the natural man. And so it will always fall short, the natural man. And we know from Scripture, I won't take you there, 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in a twinkle in an eye, that this outward body is going to be replaced with a new inward body. And so we know He doesn't want to fix this outward body. He wants us to make it submit completely, because we're going to be replaced in the end anyway. It's not as much as that I'm going to have good emotions, love and joy and peace and be nice to my neighbor and not yell at my kids and be faithful. That is good, but it's still not the best. It's not all of God. All of God is, I have a new nature that brought to life my inner man. And now with that new nature and my inner man and the help of the Holy Spirit, I can learn who I am in God from God, spirit to spirit. And I have a source of love and joy and peace called the fruit of the Spirit that I can now learn to live out of the intellect of my inner man, learn to live out of the emotions, the source of emotions from my inner man, instead of the goods that comes out of the outward man. Because whatever comes out of the outward man really is going to not be enough. And that's maybe why we see so much of our Christianity around the world being powerless and not what Jesus said we should be walking in. And I can't tell you that I am self and walking in all that Jesus has given us. But I can tell you I won't accept a lower standard to make me feel better. I am keeping the standard high. And because of that, it's causing me to find out why I'm not able to walk in all that the promises of God have given to me and to you. So we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So today I want to focus kind of on, again, showing you that you have an inward man and an outward man. And I want you to come to grips with this. That in Scripture, you have an inner man and an outward man. And then you have to decide for yourself, what does that look like? What does that mean? Because many people you try to describe, well, I am a spirit. I live in a body and I have a soul. And that is, from a distance, a very good description. But in the area of transformation, it doesn't fit. You have to be able to see the whole picture of being a spirit, body, and soul. You have to see the whole picture so you can understand why transformation is so important. Otherwise, you'll settle for conforming. And we don't want to settle for trying to conform, trying to make our outward man act like a Christian. We want to mortify the deeds of it and make it bow its knee to the inner man. And the only purpose my outward body has is to walk me around and to keep me alive on this earth long enough for me to have an impact and bring other people to heaven with me. So another core verse here, and I want you to come to grips. You have to answer this question. We may have a quiz at the end of this series. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So I want you to see that you have an outward man that is to be perishing, and an inward man that is to be renewed. Now if you underline, I'm going to underline this myself in this Bible, the word renewed. And I want you to see that the part that is being renewed day by day is the inward man. So what does that mean? Well, hopefully by the end of this series, you'll be able to answer that with confidence and with truth and proof. You have an inward man and an outward man. You have an inward man that is to be renewed day by day, and an outward man that is to be perishing. That is what you have to deal with. And how do you explain that? I'm going to go over here to the verse here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, way back over there. Really an incredible book. A little confusing if you don't understand it, but a beautiful, incredible book. Actually written by Solomon. Oh, let's read verse 6. I'm in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 6 and 7. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed. And we taught last session how that is when someone dies, that the cord between the two bodies, the cord, your outward man, inner man, is cut, is loosed or broken. Or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain. In other words, once that cord is severed, then it's all broken. You can't put together a pitcher that's shattered at the fountain. It's over. You can't get saved or change what you do after you die. Now remember, this is an Old Testament saint describing in Old Testament terms that even in Old Testament, before Jesus, before salvation, you had an inner man and an outer man. So in God's, I'm going to pause here. Let me give you the big picture again. I'm slowing myself down. Forgive me for going so slow. Allow me to do this, please. The design of Adam was that he could operate in both realms at the same time, the spiritual realm and the natural realm. So the design for the human race was that God would have humans that procreate, that have a spiritual body and a natural body, so that they could operate in both realms at the same time. Now, because Adam sinned, what changed was that his nature went dark. So he had a nature of light that he received from God, and his outward body and his inward body were perfect in unity and light. He could touch both worlds, the spiritual world, which is as real or even more real than the natural world. He can do both. He can see God, talk to God, and also pet the dog and play with the cow. And both worlds. But when he sinned, the nature of Adam turned dark, which turned the inner body and the outward body, which are connected completely, because you have one body that's connected to both realms. And when he sinned, it all turned dark. The nature turned dark, which turned the inner body dark and the outward body dark. And they're connected so much that they're one. But they're touching both realms. One's from the spiritual realm, one's from the natural realm. And so that is what was passed down through the seed of Adam to the human race. So every child born is born with an inward body and an outward body. The inner body can touch the spiritual realm, and the natural part of the body can touch the natural realm, the carnal part of the body. So when you see that, then I want you to see that you have a nature. You have a nature. You're not the nature. You have a nature. You have an inner body. And what's that inner body look like? It is an inner body. Arms and legs and face, it's yours. And a mind or a brain, if you want. A heart with emotions and desires. Your soul, as they say, is connected to both realms. One side is spirit, and on the other side of your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, is connected to both realms, the spiritual part and the natural part. And this is why when you go to some mystics and spiritualism, who people are not born again, they've learned that I have an inward body, and that's why they meditate and they try to quiet their outward mind so they can begin to connect to the inner man. Now, their inner man is still dark, but they still have one. But what happened to you when you were born again was that new nature brought to life your inner body. It brought it to life. It was dead. It was dark. And so when it did that, it brought to light. It made it new. It quickened it so it was like brand new. The same way when you're born again, you become a new creation. Your inner man became alive and became a new creation because of the new nature. And so now you must renew it with the knowledge of God, because it is like a child. It doesn't know, because all the knowledge it had in darkness was washed away, and now it's new and has to be taught who it is and who you are in God. So your inner man is alive, and it left your outward body dark and in death. So now you have one aspect of your soul which pulls from the natural man, emotions and intellect and desires, is from your carnal man, which is left dark. That's where you find insecurity, jealousies, envies, strife, desires for sin. All that source is in your outward body. The outward body is not just your fingers and toes. It's the brain and the heart, you can say, the emotional part of you. But you're still stuck with it. God didn't fix that yet. So that's why you have a battle, because now the spiritual side of you is alive and hungry for God as your Father. The outward side of you is dark and self-serving. And now you got the battle. You are connected to both realms the same way Adam was. But your outward man is left dark. That's the battle. So as we read here now, verse 6, remember your query before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken. So we can read in James how the body, this is in James 2, the body without the spirit is dead. So when the body, the inner man and the outer man, when the silver cord is cut, the outer man falls off. But you still have an inward body that you walk around in. Okay? That's the spirit. Now, the word spirit from the Greek can mean the inner man, the inner body. It can mean the new nature. That is how it can be interpreted. It could also mean a demonic spirit. It can also mean the Holy Spirit. So the only way to really understand when the scripture says the word spirit is you have to find in context, what is he talking about? Because it can sometimes mean the Holy Spirit, can sometimes mean the demonic spirit. It can mean your new nature. It can mean your inner body. Just like the word flesh can mean sometimes your body, the desires of your body, but sometimes it means the old nature of sin that is gotten rid of when you're born again. Okay. Verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So here is a great example from the Old Testament. How they had, by design, as a human, an inner man and an outward man. The outward man is left to dust. This outward body will return to dust. But you still have a spirit that you live for eternity in. There was a man that was out in the snow up in Canada. And when you have snow in Canada, you have to get out and you have to shovel the snow off of your driveway or it turns to ice. And his testimony was he was a Christian, shoveling the snow and had a heart attack because he was working too hard. And died there on his driveway in the snow. And when he died, fortunately, praise God, some paramedics were right there, driving by or walking by, I don't know. And they got out and revived him after 5 minutes or so, brought him back to life. And his testimony is, in the moments that he was dead, instantly he was up in heaven. So he was shoveling the snow, and in the next instant, he was walking around heaven. So what does it look like in heaven when you say that your spirit returns to God? When we see that, there's so many interpretations. I have a spirit. I'm just like a little blob of cloud that floats around heaven. And so people try to interpret it because they get too, I don't know, they don't see the picture. I have an inner body. It's very practical. That inner body is just like my outer body. In fact, they used to be together, spiritual side, natural side, and in unity completely. In darkness, that's how I was born. But the only way God could rescue me was to quicken the new nature and brought to life the inner body, which put it now where I am someone who has an inner body that's alive and light, and an outward body that's connected in the mind and in the emotions, connected on the other spectrum into darkness. And now I have to decide, where am I going to live? Out of the mind of my natural man or out of the mind of my spiritual man? Where am I going to live? Am I going to be double-minded and think spiritual thoughts today and then get pulled back to natural thoughts tomorrow? Or am I going to be able to transform to where I'm living and thinking and feeling out of the source of my spiritual man instead of my natural man? So the natural man returns to dust. This is before Jesus. This was the design of man. Remember when Elisha, they were surrounded by an army, and his servant was fearful, and he said, "Lord, open his eyes that he can see." Well, what was he saying? He's saying, God, open up the spiritual, let him see out of his spiritual eyes. Let him see into the spiritual realm from his spiritual eyes so he can see. And he looked, and there was a vast army of angels that were, he wasn't afraid anymore. And so that was the design of man, to live and function out of the spiritual man and the natural man, fully full of light. But when man sinned, they turned dark. But they still had a inner body of spirit. But when you were born again, that inner man came, that inner body came to light and life. And when that man was up in heaven, he was enjoying everything for, you know, 5 minutes. Probably felt longer up in heaven, but it was for about 5 minutes, I guess. Now, I want you to think, if that man was, say, a rude Christian, you know, we all know Christians, some are nice, some are still not down the road of living right yet, so maybe they get anger issues or selfish issues, that kind of thing, that, you know, you have a Christian, maybe this was one of those Christians who was born again, but still had a bad attitude about life and was a jerk and mean. And then he died. And the next instance, he's walking around heaven. Now he's around heaven. He's in heaven. He's in heaven walking around because that's your inner body. It's alive because of new nature, meaning it goes to heaven with you. And when the trumpet sounds, this natural body that returns to dust will be replaced with another body that allow us to operate in the natural realm and walk around and see and touch and talk in the natural. That's why when someone dies, their body is here, but they're not there. They are in heaven in their spiritual body. They're not a ghost. They're not a little blob of cloud. They are there. You'll recognize them. And they have a mind. They aren't mindless. They have a mind and emotions. Well, where is the source of those emotions when you get to heaven? What do you have, a soul in heaven? Do you have a soul? Well, yeah, I have emotions and a mind. Yes, you do, and an intellect. But where are the bad parts? This man who was a jerk, I'm just saying, just pretending, he was a jerk and mean and angry. He went out to shovel the snow, and his wife said, "Get out and shovel the snow." She said, "You," and he said, "You shut up, woman. I don't like you. You just shut up." And he went out and shoveled the snow and was cussing, we'll say. But he had enough nature in him to go to heaven. So here he was shoveling the snow, protesting, and then he died. Now he's in heaven, and he's walking around heaven. He may be seeing Jesus. Is there anger in heaven? Sorrow, jealousy, envy? Did he cuss in heaven? Was he angry in heaven? No, we know that. No, heaven's beautiful. Heaven's perfect. There's no sorrow. There's no jealousy. Well, I don't get it then. Why is this man in heaven and just got there, and he's perfect, nice, gentle, no jerkness in there, no anger? But a second ago, he was angry. What happened? Well, the source of that anger is in the natural body, the natural part of your soul, which was severed at the cut of the silver cord. And now the natural part of you, you left it behind. You have an inner body with a soul that is spiritual. And you have a natural body that has a soul that is natural. And they're connected right now between the two bodies. And you have to choose which eyes are you going to learn to look out of. Are you going to live out of the spiritual man, or are you going to live out of the natural man? Now, if you choose to live out of the spiritual man, it doesn't just happen automatically. You can confess the word, and you can say, "I am this," but really, you're going to feel things, emotions that are contrary to the inner man. So you must travel or transform to where you are living out of the inner man completely, and the outer man has been made to submit to the inner man, which another terminology for that is mortification. I'm getting into the weeds again. I'm trying not to. Please forgive me. The natural man turns back to dust because that's what it's made out of. I'm going to receive a new eternal body, 1 Corinthians 15. It will never conflict with God. It will be perfect as and pure and as light as my inner man. So that is who I am. Now, we're going to look over here in Luke 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke. all the way back over to Luke 16. I want to give you another example. Now remember, in this example, Luke 16, Jesus has not been glorified yet. In fact, Jesus is the one who is sharing this story. So these men still are not born again. And what happened if you were qualified in your actions from the Old Testament to eventually go to heaven? When you died, you didn't go to heaven because Jesus has not made a way yet. So you went to a place in hell separated called Abraham's bosom, or another word is paradise. And you waited until Jesus came, was born. And this is where Noah was and people from the old world and people before Jesus, when they died. This is where, when Jesus was on the cross, and the one thief said, "Please take me with you, forgive me." And Jesus said, "I will see you in paradise. Today I'll see you in paradise." Well, that's where he went. He didn't go to heaven because he wasn't saved yet. No one could be saved because Jesus was not yet glorified. So they can only go to the holding place right next to hell, a place called paradise or Abraham's bosom. And that's where Abraham was, that's where Noah was, Moses was. Every Old Testament person who was qualified for heaven but couldn't go yet because Jesus had not made the way yet, that's where they were held. And if they didn't get qualified, they ended up in hell, in the burning part. And they were right beside each other. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Jesus tells this story. "There is a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died outside of this rich man's house," who basically just stepped over him every day going to his house to eat and be blessed. "And so it was the beggar died," verse 22, "and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom." That's paradise. "The rich man also died and was buried." So I want you to see both men, the rich man and the poor man Lazarus. This Lazarus is not the one that Jesus raised from the dead. This Lazarus was a poor beggar that died outside of the rich man's house. Both died. The rich man was buried. So they both had their natural bodies laying on the earth, returning back to dust. In fact, if you went and looked for these men's bodies now, you would find the rich man's body has completely turned to dust. But he's still alive. He's in hell still today. "The rich man also died and was buried," verse 23. "And being in torment in Hades," so he went to hell, the rich man. That's where he is today. In hell, in torment, because he didn't ask Jesus in his heart. If you're not born again, get your rear end in church. Get born again. "In beginning in torment, and being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." So he was in hell. And right next to hell was a chamber or a area that housed every person who was qualified for heaven, except they did not have a new nature yet, because Jesus had not been glorified yet. Abraham was in there, and that's where the poor man went. Well, the rich man went right next to it in hell, in Hades, in burning, in torment. Now, their bodies are on this earth. But yet it says here that he looked up and saw, he looked up with his eyes, so he had eyes. Your spirit isn't just a cloud, a bubble, a cloud, or your spirit. Now, you have, your nature is different than your inner body, your inner man. Your nature is a part of your inner man. Your nature brought to life your inner man, but you've always had this inner man, but now it's alive instead of dark. Now it's light instead of dark, it's alive instead of death. So these men are in the afterlife. Their bodies are buried. Their bodies are on the earth. But yet, while they're in the afterlife, one in Abraham's bosom and the other in Hades. He looked up, and being tormented in Hades, verse 23, he lifted up his eyes, so he has eyes, and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip. So this rich man recognized the poor man. So he looked like he did, without the sores, without the brokenness, without the ratty hair. He looked like himself. So in the afterlife, our inner man looks like our outward man. They're connected. Remember, inner body and outward body. But it doesn't age. That's the difference. So he saw this poor man Lazarus. Said, please let him just touch the finger, dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. So he said, let him take his finger. So I want you to see here that Jesus is saying, in the afterlife, you have a body that you walk around. Where did that body come from? You always had it since birth. But now, because you died, the silver cord was cut. The natural side of the body fell off and is to return the dust. Well, the inner side of the body is now going to take you into the afterlife. And if you have a nature of light in it, that nature of light allows the inner body to be alive, will take you to heaven, to Jesus. But if you don't, if you have a nature of darkness, even though the outward body falls off of you, you still have a dark nature. That dark nature will go to its father, which is hell. Your inner body will end up in hell forever. And it will carry you with it. That's why you got to get born again. And he cried and said, Father, have mercy on me, and let Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. So he had a tongue. He was thirsty. He had a tongue. All this is showing you that you have emotions, you have thoughts, you have hands. I'm assuming if you got a finger, you have hands, you have a tongue, which means I'm sure you have a mouth, you have eyes. So the inner body is what you live in and walk around in heaven. And the difference is if you have a nature in it that's alive or a nature that's dark. If you have nature that's alive, you get to go to heaven. So even unsaved people have an inner body, but it's dark. As Christians, we need to understand this. So when we say meditate, we say quiet the outward man and think on the things of God and on the Word of God. Now, when you go to mystics, they say meditate. Theirs is more just quieting the outward man to listen to the inner man. Our meditation is different. Same word, different way of doing it. But we both have inner mans. Theirs is dark, ours is light. And because ours is light, we have access to the things of God, the knowledge of God, and the emotions that can come from the inner man. You have a love that's available to you, a joy that's available to you, a peace that's available to you, that is only sourced in the spiritual part of your soul, in the spiritual part of your body. And understand, like right now they're connected, but when the silver cord is cut, your outer body falls off of you. And that's why when you're in heaven, you don't have those anxieties or jealousies or envies. I often tell people when they talk about, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to get a bigger mansion than you. I always tell them, well, you might. But, you know, we're in heaven. You can't be angry or jealous or selfish. So I'm just going to come knock on your door and I'm going to move in. I'm going to live in the biggest bedroom you have in your big mansion. And you won't be able to kick me out because there's no jealousy, envy, or strife in heaven. So, what are you going to do about that? Your inner man comes alive, and that's what allows you to go to heaven. And you're a source of joy and peace. You don't have to wait till heaven to have it. We can have it right now, but it's not by choice. It's not by just choosing to say, I choose love. Because most Christians say, I choose love, I choose joy. What they end up doing is conforming their natural emotions to tamper down on the bad emotions and to emphasize the good emotions. I was nice, I was gentle, I was kind. And that's all available from your natural man. Your natural man can be nice. The emotions of your natural man can be gentle and kind. but not like the emotions that can come from the spiritual side of you. That kind of love the natural man can never make up. That kind of peace the natural man can never have. The only source of the fruit of the Spirit is your inner man. And if you don't take time to renew it day by day, it will stay small and you'll end up staying living and thinking out of the natural man. That is transformation. Here in Luke, we are seeing that there is an inner body that everyone has. This is before salvation. Everyone has an inner body. Every baby is born with it. The difference is between you and someone of the world, you got born again. So now when you got born again, we're going to go over to Romans again. And I'm going to just go over these verses over and over again as we paint this picture. And I'm praying you're seeing what I'm trying to share. If not, listen. If your only view in life is, I'm going to be a better person because I'm born again, that's all I want to do, God bless you. You're on a good track. You're going to go to heaven. These lessons are more to help educate us so we can see why I have to do these things. Too many people are neglecting the transformation, and they're serving God out of the power of their outward man. And the outward man is okay with that. The outward man will serve God. It won't fight you, but it will fight anything that is mortification. So it'll be happy. Your outward man will be happy to go worship God, won't fight you. And for those of you who started to pray in tongues, you found out that after a while of praying in tongues, when I first started, I was excited, but then I got miserable. I thought tongues and prayer was supposed to make me excited, but I got miserable. And they don't understand. Well, when you see that you have a natural part of your body that ultimately will be replaced with a new outward body, that your natural part of your soul doesn't like submitting to God. It likes religion, but it doesn't like God as a father. The natural intellect, the natural emotions, will then punish you for making it go into prayer, making it sit there while you pray in tongues, because it knows that it's dying, so it begins to punish you. It begins to make you feel like you're wasting your time, make you feel worthless. And it's pitching a fit like a little toddler trying to make you miserable so you'll change what you're doing and let it rule you. We don't want our outward man or outward emotions to rule us. Not even the good stuff. I want to emphasize, transformation is different than conforming in this way. Someone who sees their walk, in my terminology, as I'm going to conform into a Christian, they will say things like, yeah, I'm trying to let my mind think like God, think the good thoughts. And so we enjoy the emotions that are good, love, joy, peace. We enjoy those emotions. But we get rid of the bad emotions, evil and jealousy and strife. But my argument is not about good and bad emotions. It's about the source of those emotions. The source of those emotions can be your natural man. And good emotions that are from the natural are just chemically based emotions. See, your natural man has emotions. We had a little dog. Her name was Maddie. And Maddie was a little Yorkie, a little tiny, like 3-pound little mutt. She loved me. And we got sad that Maddie was alone, so we got her a brother named Spencer. Spencer was like a 1-pound little mutt, just tiny little legs. Well, Maddie, even though she was a little bigger, she could jump. She had like long legs and would jump. Spencer, unfortunately, was born with short legs. So when I'd sit on the couch, Maddie would jump on the couch and come and sit with me. But Spencer, because he had short legs, couldn't just jump. He'd come look at the couch and find a landing pad. And then he'd back up his little short legs. You'd watch him back up and looking at his landing pad. Then he'd run as fast as he can and throw himself up on the couch, bounce around, and get up on the couch that way. Well, Maddie loved me. You can tell she loved me. You can always tell when she would get in trouble. When we came home one time, she'd eaten a bunch of chocolate. Someone gave us a Christmas present with a bunch of chocolate in. and she had sniffed it out and had ripped it open and ate the whole thing. And we came home, her little tail was wagging. She was excited, but she was hiding behind the chair because she was knew she was in trouble. Little wrappers everywhere. Well, Maddie loved me, and but she was also jealous of me. She didn't want Spencer getting my attention or anyone else. So when Spencer would back up, he'd find his landing pad on the couch, and Maddie would be sitting on my lap. And Spencer would back up, and he'd start, get ready to run to make his attempt. Maddie would leave my lap and walk right over to his landing pad and stand there and block him from jumping onto the couch. And then she would turn her head away from Spencer as if she wasn't doing it on purpose. And I remember thinking one day, that's very creative for a dog to be able to sabotage her competition that way. And then I thought, you know, Maddie, I know people like you who have the same natural tendencies of jealousy and working it out to where they look innocent, but really they're sabotaging someone. And see, in that little dog, all these emotions, you can find in a dog, in an animal, jealousy, envy, and love. You can find all of those emotions that are chemically based. They come from their natural brain, their natural soul. That's all they have. They are a mortal creature, completely meat. That's what they are. They're completely carnal. And they have all the emotions that you have. Because your natural body is like that animal. It can produce chemicals and thoughts and desires. And when you're born again, God wants you to quit living out of the natural man. Quit acting like an animal. My wife was showing me a video on a with my daughter. We're watching a little YouTube video of this mama bear on a highway. And it had all these little cubs. And the cubs, they were acting like little kids. They wouldn't listen. And she was trying to get them across the highway. And all the cars would stop. And she'd go grab one and lift it up and carry it across. And the other one would run the other way. And she was trying to get them across so where they would be okay. And all these people had stopped and were just admiring the tenacity of the mom and the stubbornness of these little cubs. Well, growing up in Canada in the Rocky Mountains, we have been taught very early that you're in the woods by yourself and you're walking and you see this little tiny cub, little tiny brown bear with big old brown eyes, and it looks at you and it says, "Help me, help me, I'm so lost." And it's like a little teddy bear. "Oh, please help me." Oh, and it's so cute. We were taught, if you see that little tiny cute little brown eyed bear looking at you desperate, turn around and run as fast as you can. Because if there's a little cub there, then mama bear's right around the corner. And if mama bear catches you, she will send you to heaven very quickly. Well, see, that's the love of a mama. A bear, an animal, a carnal creature, has love. And you want to compare that love to the love of God? You want to compare that love to what's available to you by your inner man? You want to compare that source of emotion? You want to live out of love that comes from your carnal body? Love that comes from the carnal part of your soul? And say, "Oh, it's love. It's love." It's not love. It is man, carnal love. It is a love, and it's good. Just like the joy you can get out of your natural emotions, the peace you can get, it's good, but it's not good enough. It won't last the attack of the devil. It won't last the attack of the enemy, the hardships you may walk through, because you can have a peace when you have all your money in place. "Oh, I just love the peace. My house is paid for. My cars are great. Everything's in order. My wife is nice. My kids are perfect. I have peace." But then you get a little bit of earthquaking going on in your home, and the finances disappear. Maybe you lose a job, or the kids don't act like they did when they were tiny. They're now teenagers in the rebellion, and your marriage isn't as good, and your job prospects falling apart. Where's that peace then? See, the natural peace that your natural man can generate, the natural part of your soul, is tied into circumstances. But there is a peace available to you where you can be like the Apostle Paul, and be in prison and say, "I have the joy of the Lord. I have the peace of God." Because that's based on who He is. The source of that peace is from your inner man, not your outward man. So let's finish this session off with saying, Quit acting like an animal. The source of your natural emotions are your natural body. The natural body is not just a body. It is the source of your natural thinking and your natural emotions and natural desires and direction. And you are connected to the spiritual realm, to where you now, as a born-again Christian, have a source from the spiritual side of your soul, which is now alive and connected to God, while your outward man is not. And so now, out of that spiritual side of your soul, there is a education that's available of intellectual knowledge that is so far superior that even Einstein would not even be able to hold on to for 5 minutes, that you can have because you have a spiritual mind that is alive by the new nature and can hear and understand the deep things of God. Also, you have a spiritual emotions, that spiritual side of your soul. That's where the fruit of the Spirit is, love, joy, peace. You have a source of emotions of love that is the love of God, not the love of your natural man. It is love, it's good love, but it's not even close to what can come out of you when we begin to transform to living out of the spiritual side of us. I'm stopping there. I've said too much. I hope I'm making sense. Keep with me, because the more you see this, the more you're going to really be a believer in who you are in Christ, and that all things are possible, and that you don't need to be intimidated by anything you're going through or facing. You're not a failure. You are a child of God, and there's a transformation available for us, where we can walk around, stomp around on this earth in joy and peace that will be with us for the rest of eternity. A love that is sourced from God to us. A joy, a peace. You are a world changer. Listen, thanks for spending time with me. I appreciate you. God bless you. We'll see you again soon.